Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we discuss and review your and our favorite comedy films, a statement that could not be more truer today. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent, Ozzy V. I also forgot to mention I reside in Southern California. But I was so excited to get started talking about this movie, this wonderful movie. But first, also joining me, as always on this program, in the Northern Bay Area, world famous juggler, Greg Larson.
Hey, how's it going, Ozzy?
I'm doing fantastic. I was so excited for this movie, I didn't even change shirts. I've worn this shirt
either.
For 7 days. I wore it every day. I wore it to trivia. Yeah.
Of course, I actually had a tough time choosing between Spaceballs, the baseball jersey, or Spaceballs, the hockey jersey. I chose the baseball jersey because it says, comb the desert. And yeah.
Fantastic. And of course, Flesh Wound producer Todd.
Yes, I'm chilling.
Chilling. Chilling. Why do I even ask?
Excited to talk about this movie, I guess.
You guess? Shut up. Like, I can buy some of your, BS with Airplane, but anybody that, wants to fight me about this movie, it's going to come to blows.
However, it's almost as good as the animated series.
it's so frustrating because I forget that we have audio listeners to this show. And when you say things like that and I just, see red for a second, I just blink. I know that the person watching this, which you can see this on YouTube, can see like, Ozzy's getting pissed. But if you're listening, like, what's going on? And that's the moment where I wish, like in the Looney Tunes, when any character would blink their eyes, you'd get that the xylophone, whatever, the high-pitched thing, you'd know that somebody was blinking their eyes. Now, before we jump into this review, am I wrong, Todd? Or
no, you made me laugh. I'm sorry I reacted.
Well, no, it's just the 9 times out of 10, I understand you're chilling. 9 times out of 10, you're also a jerk. So
it clicked in my mind, the noise you were saying, so that made me laugh.
Got it. Thank you very much. All right. Now, before we jump into this discussion, we're going to feature a commercial starring Rick Moranis, circa 1992, for a location you will not find anywhere in the United States, technically. Todd, if you'd do the honors.
At some video stores,
excuse me,
they never have what you want.
Don't have them.
When you want it.
Excuse me.
At Jumbo Video,
excuse me, you come to the right place. Have some free popcorn.
We have what you want and more 24 hours a day. Music videos, video games, computer software, children's movies, just 99 cents. Movies for sale.
Wow, this place is great.
Jumbo Video has everything you want for a great night at home.
Got any 8-tracks?
Jumbo Video. Let us entertain you.
Okay, so real quick for those listening to the audio version, the reason why I mentioned you can't find a location like this anymore is because it takes place in a video store. Rick Moranis is asking for help in a video store. And when I saw this video, I just thought that I have to share this. It's more important than anything else just because it features a video store where you used to go to be able to just pick up the movie, read the back of them, put them down, just pick out what movie you were going to watch that weekend. Or even in some cases. Yes, Todd.
I'm going to throw one out there, too. You couldn't have went here if you lived in the United States back then anyway. It's actually a Canadian chain, which is why I never heard of it till the commercial.
Oh, well, there you go.
Right.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
I did just watch The Last Blockbuster, and
good doc,
which is ironically on Netflix.
you can check out a review of that on one of the other many shows, but my copy actually got sent to me from The Last Blockbuster.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
authentic. it was actually pretty good and sad, but I just have to say, like, the world is less of a great place with such little Rick Moranis in it these days.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
He's an international treasure, and it's just great seeing more of him.
I heard he's running a wrestling show on Wednesday nights on TNT, though. Oh, wait, sorry. That was a different guy. So now moving on to our trailer that I want to show of the film classic film, classic Mel Brooks film, Spaceballs. Todd, if you would please do the honors.
There it is, planet Druidian. And underneath the air shield, 10,000 years of fresh air. We must get through that air shield.
We will, sir. Once we kidnap the princess, we can force her father, King Roland, to give us the combination to the air shield, thereby destroying planet Druidia and saving planet Spaceball.
Everybody got that?
Spaceballs, the movie.
Princess Vespa's spaceship within range, sir.
Good.
What's going on?
It's either the 4th of July, or someone's trying to kill us.
Now we will show her who is in charge of this galaxy.
If you do not give me the combination to the air shield, Dr. Slotkin will give your daughter back her old nose.
No!
Only one man and his trusted companion can save planet Druidia from disaster.
Okay, Eagle 5, coming in.
Lone Star.
First, they must learn the secrets of yogurt.
Yogurt? I am the keeper of a greater magic.
The Force?
No, the Schwartz.
Avoid capture on a distant planet.
Tell them to comb the desert, you hear me? Comb the desert!
Found anything yet?
We ain't found...
Battle the entire Spaceball army.
Shut my ear!
Holy!
And escape the clutches of Dark Helmet.
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Abandon ship! Proceed to escape pods!
What the hell's the matter with this seatbelt?
When does this happen in the movie?
Give me Paul!
Spaceballs, the movie.
How do I know you're not making faces at me under that thing?
And may the Schwartz be with you!
All right, and there was the trailer for Spaceballs, released June 24th, 1987, with a runtime of 1 hour and 36 minutes, rated PG, thankfully. You know, funny story about this. My dad used to hate seeing me watch this movie, but he had recorded it off of Cinemax. And I said, if you hate this movie so much, why'd you record it? And he says, I thought it was Star Wars. Actually, you know, I totally made that story so much shorter than it actually was because he didn't know. I've never heard him say Star Wars. He described in Spanish, I thought it was that movie with the planes that shoot lasers and the laser swords. And that's when I was like, you thought it was Star Wars. And then he'd get mad because the look on my face expressed how much of an idiot I thought he was. So this film, one of my favorite films of all time, as I mentioned, I got this. Now this isn't the Schwartz edition of the DVD. This is a general DVD I got as a birthday present. Nothing, a whole lot of bells and whistles, just the standard. Looks like a regular, the special features on here, of course, have the commentary. There's behind the scenes footage and the trailer. So not very much stuff, but I did manage to have this commentary. But back of the DVD synopsis reads, fearless and clueless space heroes, Lone Star and his half man, half dog sidekick, Barf, wage interstellar warfare to free Princess Vespa from the evil clutches of Dark Helmet. On the way to the rescue in their Winnebago, they confront the huge, gooey Pizza the Hut. That's kind of, I'll touch on that. That's kind of false advertising. A sassy robot, Dot Matrix, and a wise little creature named Yogurt, who teaches them the mystical power of the Schwartz in order to bring peace and merchandising rights to the entire galaxy. Real quick, when it says they encounter Pizza the Hut, it's a video call. I just, when I said that, when it left my mouth, I was like, that's an inaccurate statement. But of course, you have Lone Star played by Bill Pullman, Barf played by John Candy, Dark Helmet played by Rick Moranis, President Stroop and Yogurt played by Mel Brooks, Princess Vespa played by Daphne Zuniga. And you also Zuniga?
Now I'm screwed.
No, Zuniga. Because on the commentary, Mel Brooks actually said how he had messed up the pronunciation, and then she had to correct him on the correct way to say it. Now, Dot Matrix, same deal as like a C-3PO. The voice of Dot Matrix was Joan Rivers. However, the person inside the Dot Matrix costume was a former mime known by Lorene Jansen, who had a successful mime career. That played.
Way to give her some credit.
Yeah.
The unsung heroes, man.
Brooks. Now, here's the funny thing about the commentary, is it was done for Laserdisc.
And it was done for what?
It was done for Laserdisc.
What was it done for?
Nice.
What, Todd, what are you doing that? Holy cow, you have the Laserdisc. But the commentary specifically mentions Laserdisc.
Well, there it is.
That looks more like a record.
That's what a laser did.
I know, but with the sleeve. Well, the sleeve makes it look like an old school record.
You got to protect it. It's a MGM laser disc.
No, I get that. I just thought it would be in like some sort of plastic instead of sort of like a paper sleeve.
Wow.
There was a.
Do you even have a laser disc player?
I got two.
Oh, he has two. It's two. I mean. Well, I was already shocked to find out that you have a laser disc player and you have two. I almost think you're kidding with me. It's like he's teasing you. Nobody has two Laserdisc players.
Look, I do want to say, like, sorry to like tangent on Laserdiscs right now, but like since the Laserdisc, there's been no form of media in which you can type in the exact scene number and get there. That was brilliant, and I loved every. Granted, I've probably only used it once, but still. Well, it's amazing that you could do that. Sorry.
No, it's fine. It probably must have been really hard or really annoying to put in there because, you know, it was so easy to put in there. They would have done it with all the DVD players.
You had to flip it over.
You had to flip it over.
One of my players does it automatically. So I was like, that was big. So you got to wait like a minute halfway through the movie. But
wow. Does it do it like a jukebox where an arm comes down, picks it up and lifts it and flips it? And if laser discs were still around, I would totally design something like that.
Oh, they're making their comeback, but I didn't mean to. No, they really are. The hipsters have found out about them.
They're the new vinyl.
I just sold my Godzilla vs. Biollante laser disc for like $80. So.
Wait a second.
Holy crap.
Wait. You're telling me that a giant record format is coming back.
Coming back as in the hipsters are adopting it like they did the VHS tape and they're commanding high dollars again. Like I said, you're in your laughing fit. I just sold a Godzilla vs. Biollante laser disc for $80.
I heard that. Okay. Okay, whatever. This show is not about Laserdisc.
I just wanted to show you I had that.
Yes, okay. And I brought it up because Brooks had mentioned that this commentary is being done for Laserdisc. It was just amusing to hear that. But this, aside from the story about my father thinking this was Star Wars, Greg, any initial thoughts?
Man, this has always been a classic. I've always loved this movie. I don't think there will be a day where someone says, "Hey, would you like to watch Spaceballs?" And I'm like, "Nah, I'm good. Not feeling it today." This is anytime, any day. Like this is always a great movie to put on. So it's. I didn't need to watch this movie to have this conversation, but any excuse I have to watch it is great.
Yes, yeah. And Fleshwood producer Todd,
I'm with you. Like I'm not even gonna mess with Ozzy on this one. I do love this movie. Way better than Airplane. Can you even argue that statement?
Okay, audio listeners, I just did an eye roll. That's all. So there's tons of lines in this film that are so memorable and quotable. And I don't want to say anything right now just in case one happens to be a favorite. but it wasn't a particular line. That was my favorite. It was a clip. It was a good like 60 seconds where I found myself laughing through the entire joke. And I've seen this movie millions and millions of times. I could recite this movie. In fact, there was times when I was watching it and I'd be writing stuff down and I would finish people's lines. But when in the case of this show that we're doing here, I really try to make myself hear each joke for the first time. And when it came to the scene of what's happening now is happening now. We're it now. Yes. My sister and I quote that all the time. And in that stage of like, okay, really try to, you know, take it in as though it's the first time. That was one where I was laughing through their dialogue. When will then be now? Soon. We're going to stand back with his reaction. It's just, oh man. And I feel that because usually I would be describing a little bit more detail what I'm talking about. And I feel this is a movie that everybody has seen. I haven't found one person that hasn't seen this movie, that enjoys comedies, that hasn't seen this movie. That's a more accurate point. But definitely, hands down, that was my favorite scene of this movie. Greg?
Well, before I say my favorite moment of this movie, I think there's a very important question that was brought up that was not answered. Ozzy, if you had to choose Spaceballs or Airplane, what would you choose, sir?
Can we save that for the end? Let's save that for the end.
All right. Sounds good. But we're not, you know, just glossing over that. But this is another one of those ones where it's tough to pick one. But the moment where Barf just goes, funny, she doesn't look Drew-ish. Like, I lose it every time. The delivery, like from facial expression to the way he says it, everything about it is just fantastic.
And the ears.
Yes.
They actually had a dude behind him on a machine that would be controlling the ears for each scene.
Oh, no kidding.
Like, or awesome. He'd be somewhere behind him, you know, like so Barf would have to wear wires going into a suit to, you know, control the ears. Todd?
You guys, like, the assholes one is a big one. But, you know, we're surrounded by assholes. The one that got me this time was one that normally doesn't. And I wrote it down so I don't screw up the line because I need to say this correctly. And it's when they're all trying to escape the ship. When Dark Helmet says, "Get back here, you fat bearded bitch." I was dying on this. I don't know if I just didn't notice it but man, I was dying off that one this time.
Even the line right before that is when Dark Helmet goes to the pod. You have the bearded lady approach the pod. And then, who are you? I'm the bearded lady. Who are you? One of the freaks. I was laughing there. And then you laugh right after it's like such like a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
One line that I always say out loud, no matter what or where I see it, whenever I see an out of order sign, 100% without fail, I always say, even in the future, nothing works.
Right.
And there have been some times where somebody will ask me, what did you say? It's Spaceballs. Like they have that look on their face like, oh, yeah, I've seen it. I don't know what he's talking about. I guarantee that's what happens. But, and yeah. Oh, okay. So check this out. The commentary on this film. Now, it's funny because it says it's director commentary, but the fact is the commentary features all three of the writers. One of the writers doesn't even say anything. And the other writer says a few things at the end because one of the writers was the priest conducting the wedding. That was Ronnie Graham. He was one of the writers of the film that played that role. And towards the end, you'll notice that when Vespa comes back and she embraces her dad and the camera cuts to another dude who doesn't say anything, is just smiling. before it cuts back to them, then cuts to Prince Valium. That is was the third writer, Thomas Meehan, third writer that just wanted to have us have a role in the movie. Didn't need to say anything. He just wanted to be there and wanted to whatever because he'd never done anything in a movie. And afterward, he said, "I never want to do that again." Because of the costumes they had to wear, it was very hot on the set. Of course, right. they had to do that multiple times, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going to be completely honest. There was a joke I got for the first time watching this movie that I didn't get before. Because being raised in a Spanish-speaking household, when I should say Spanish was my first language and I learned English second, there were some things that took me a while to figure out or find out about. And that was the term raspberry. What a raspberry. What I'm not just talking about the fruit, like the actual putting your, you know, thumbs by your ears, holding your hands up and sticking your tongue out. And you know, that noise that happens. I, for the longest time, I didn't know that was a raspberry. So for the jam scene that happened, and when Helmet said, "There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry." Oh, fuck. Oh, my God. I'm 36 years old seeing this for the 36 millionth time, and I'm finally getting that little piece. So because the way that scene happens is because, of course, the camera's closing up on Dark Helmet, and then Colonel Sanders sees the cameras, gets out of the way. So it's this movie, this scene is just, or rather, this movie is packed with scenes. We have so many things happening in between that it's almost like you can see it multiple times and enjoy it each time. Yes, Todd.
Hopefully you'll discover. Well, yeah, because how many times have you watched it? So what's your next viewing? What number will it be?
I said 36 millionth. So the next time will be 36 million and one.
Okay. I didn't hear the million.
Yeah. Okay.
Try not to watch Spaceballs going through the parking lot.
Right. Okay. So just one other note before I get to the rating is one particular scene I wanted to point out because it was one of these where you had like a visual joke. And if you were focused too much on the visual joke, you'd probably miss out on the other joke that was also in the scene. That is after Scroob is telling the everybody to comb the desert. And they actually have combs, giant combs. And they're combing the desert. And when you have Colonel Sanders asking Dark Helmet, "Sir, are we taking this too literally?" And Dark Helmet turns to him with the megaphone and says, "No, you fool. We're told to comb the desert, so we're combing it." Through the megaphone. He's right by him.
Right.
Then to the people combing the desert, he puts down the microphone and yells. That's so good. Because you could be focused on the dialogue. It's like, "Oh, what do you mean combing the desert?" And then you see the giant combs. You might not even realize he's yelling at them when he has a megaphone in his hand. Small stuff like that is just, it just makes it so great. And
an honorable mention of that scene when they say, "We ain't found shit." Like, that died.
That actually got through on a censor when they showed it on KTLA when I was a kid. I remember I'd recorded it on tape. And I showed my sister, and she's like, "Oh, they probably thought he said ship."
Yeah.
And then I was like, "I wonder if they made him say ship, but it was supposed to sound like shit." So I did the subtitles. No, it's shit. It's definitely shit. Right. Also, some other notes from the commentary. President Scroob, played by Brooks. Scroob is Brooks backwards and just the R rearranged in a different position.
Nice.
He had also mentioned on the commentary that had Gene Wilder not gone to do other movies, Gene Wilder most likely would have been President Scroob and Yogurt. Would have been different than they could have made it work.
Yeah, it would have been a different performance, but I'm sure he would have made it his own and hilarious.
Right. Another joke that I never got as a kid, and I finally took the time to look it up and got it. It was a nod to the intellects, but when the Mega Maid is about to be transformed, Dark Helmet says, "Ready, Kafka." Do you guys know the story behind that joke?
No.
Okay. So Kafka was supposed to reference Franz Kafka because he penned the book titled The Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis into a giant maid, right? Here's what makes it even better. This book was mentioned in the producers as a play where Max Bialystock picks up one of these plays in the beginning when they're looking through all these plays. And he says, Gregor Samba awoke one morning to discover that he had been transformed into a giant cockroach. And he stops and says, too good. It was that book called the Metamorphosis. So Brooks referenced it again in Spaceballs. Like, it's kind of like another nod to that. So, and he mentions in the commentary, like, it was a joke for the intellects, and I'm sure they hate me for it. The actual, it's a German novella, and the direct translation is that he awoke one morning to find himself transformed into a giant vermin. But change it for cockroach for the film. But I thought, to finally get that joke, the Kafka joke, it's like, I feel somewhat redeemed. So there's nothing I could, or no one else that could convince me otherwise and give this less than a 5. It is a 5. Absolutely. Hands down. I can't say enough good things about this movie. Greg?
You know, we've been giving. Oh,
are we going to fight?
Quite a few 5s. And after watching it again this time, there's some moments that I kind of had to second guess my rating. And so I do have to give it a 5.
Man, we were going to fight. We were going to fight. I was silent.
No,
we were just going to fight.
Well, I guess we are. See? It was better than Mystery Man. I'll give it that. So what I give that, and it's a 5.
Well, it's not a false statement. It is better than
this. Yeah, exactly. Much
so a lot of things that I think, something that has probably come across the minds of some people watching this movie is, what did George Lucas think? And what was really funny is Mel Brooks actually watched the rough cut version with George Lucas, who actually thoroughly enjoyed the film. And a division of Skywalker Ranch did the audio post-production for this movie.
Oh, nice.
And ILM created the alien monster that came out of John Hurt's stomach.
Nice.
And
for those who don't know, ILM is a division of Skywalker.
Industrial Light and Magic. Yes, thank you, Todd. So that scene, the alien played by John Hurt in the original Alien film, that, you know, so just reenacting that part. Now, John Hurt was in another Mel Brooks movie that we've reviewed in a small role. He played Jesus in History of the World. Oh. So that scene, the back and forth between, that was John Hurt. And after the movie, or when he was done, John Hurt had told Mel Brooks, hey, if you need anything at all, let me know. So then doing the space movie, and he sees John Hurt do the alien thing, and he's like, hey, do you think you could do the alien thing? And he just responds, absolutely. Of course.
Nice.
So that was, there's nothing bad to say about this movie. It's practically impossible. I can't think of anything else. So that is the review of Spaceballs. Hands down, one of my favorite films of all time. And we are going to be back with a new review, rather new episode next week. We are going to have a review of a new movie that we have not reviewed on this show before. And that film is Martin Lawrence picture, Blue Streak, also featuring Dave Chappelle. I know we just saw some Dave Chappelle in Half-Baked, but he's a supporting role in this film, Blue Streak, which also stars Luke Wilson. I haven't seen this movie in a long time, and I had been craving to watch it after seeing a clip of it on TV recently. So that's what we're going to do, Blue Streak. Greg or Todd, any final thoughts before we head out?
I'm always happy to watch these movies, man. Like, I just gotta thank you guys. Like, this has been a lot of fun, and watching all these great comedies and some that I've never seen. Looking forward to Blue Streak because I've never seen it. It's just been a blast, man. Yeah. And I hope people who are listening take the time to watch some of these movies and give them a chance if you've not seen them.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Todd?
Check out what we got going on Flesh Wound on the fleshwoundfeatures.com.
And when was Spaceballs coming out on Blu-ray?
Oh, wait. Tuesday. This Tuesday.
This no, Tuesday. Yes, this Tuesday. There we go. So look forward to that. Yeah. I can upgrade my DVD.
There you go, to 4K.
Exactly. Or I have the 4K on my phone.
Nice LaserDisc.
By the way, no LaserDisc. Screw that. Just real quick, the digital
$100 version. Aussie, just for you. They look beautiful. Look, it even has the original cellophane on it.
I almost ended this whole thing without mentioning my biggest gripe.
With
particular versions of this movie. Now, when I said I can't find anything wrong about it, there's one small thing. So the digital version's great. In fact, the one I got includes extras. You can actually watch the film in ludicrous speed, which is hilarious. The whole thing is that fast. However, in every other version I've seen of this movie, if it's been on TV, the scene when they enter the diner after they've rescued Princess Vespa and they've left her, the alien monster scene.
Mm-hmm.
My copy of the DVD still has the original where it's good enough played by Van Halen as soon as they walk in. As soon as they walk in, you hear David Lee Roth, "Hello, baby," and then the rest of the thing goes. But then I was like, wait a second, I could have sworn the digital version has this other stupid song that I got mad about. I pulled up the digital version. Lo and behold, if you listen closely, you can actually hear it cuts midway into a song. It's not the beginning of a song. It cuts midway into a song, which I thought, I don't know what the deal with that is. But even in the digital version, you go all the way down to the credits, it still credits Good Enough by Van Halen. So
yeah, technically, even though that they had to pull the song for rights issues, only on digital. It only affects digital. Something with the contracting. Also, they can't really alter the credits because of the way the MPA works. MPA. They dropped an A. Works with the credit. So technically, it's not a new edition. It's just, you know, had an audio replacement. So
see.
Spaceballs or Airplane?
No.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
I really loved. No, hold on a second. No, I have to explain my reasoning for deciding what I'm going to decide. And it's not going to be a 20-minute thing or whatever. But last week when we talked about, rather 2 weeks ago, when we talked about Pineapple Express, and I mentioned how much I enjoyed it being a hybrid, having some comedy and some action in it. This, you got this benefit of having a really funny space satire, but still a basic fairy tale, basic space fairy tale that gave you some space action scenes. It was visually pleasing. Having said that, if I had to choose one, and this doesn't mean anything's wrong with the other, it just means that I would go Spaceballs. There.
All right. Good man. Good man.
Smart choice.
It's a hybrid sci-fi comedy.
There you go. It's
visually pleasing.
As you've heard it here, Ozzy says Spaceballs is great.
And what else is it, Todd? And what else what was the second part of that statement?
It means
given the choice, Airplane would go in the dumpster.
Oh my God.
Of the two.
It'd be better off if it didn't exist.
You both are ridiculous. Now that we have all that out of the way, we're going to be back next week with this episode, with a new episode featuring Blue Streak, review and discussion. That is world famous juggler Greg. That is Flesh Wound producer Todd. I'm Ozzy V. See you next week, right here on Flesh Wound Farce.